Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Thursday, June 30th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. At the end of the day, half of 2005 is going to be over. I tell you, it's flying. It's unbelievable how much is going on. Now, today's guest is Mr. Frank Whalen. He appears on RBN, and also he has a show called, or his website is franklyspeakingradio.com. Mm-hmm. And in an alternative media that increasingly has less and less strong voices out there, this guy here shouts from the mountaintops. This guy, he has a strong voice. He's not afraid to say the things that have to be said, and we couldn't think more of him here at Wing TV.
The show is excellent.
It is.
Check it out.
The fastest 4 hours in radio, and we have to agree with that. So, Frank, welcome to Wing TV.
Hey, Frank.
Hello. Thank you both very much for having me. It's an honor.
Well, we're glad you're here.
The honor is all ours.
Yeah. Why don't you give your website again real quick before we get going?
Sure. It's www.franklyspeakingradio.com.
And they can find all the listening information right there?
Absolutely. We have links to the RBN feed and also links to all of our guests, great people like yourselves. We have fantastic news and resources available there. Lots of archives. Our webmaster, James, works very hard, and we certainly appreciate everything he does for us.
Yeah, that is.
And their archives are free, by the way, too.
Yeah. Now, I was going to start off in a different vein here today, but I heard something this morning, and if
okay.
you had asked me this before I heard it on the radio, I wouldn't have known the answer. But I want to ask both you, Frank, and Lisa, do you know what the price of oil was per barrel in January of 2005? I was shocked when
I would have to say somewhere in the realm of maybe 40.
$10 a barrel.
You're kidding me.
Nope. This guy on the radio this morning, who he's a guy that runs an airline site to get low price tickets, he said in January of 2005 it was $10 a barrel. Now, I'm going to have to go in and check into this, but that means that if this is true, the price of it has increased sixfold within a matter of five years.
Bush said no price gouging in America. Remember he said that?
Well, that's interesting. It's coming from a guy whose brother, of course, confiscated all the oil coming into Florida after the hurricanes happened.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Now, to start this off, of course, the biggest mess we have, well, one of the biggest messes, I should say, is over in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And we see now that Israeli soldiers are actually fighting against other Israeli soldiers. And one of them, even recently, was sentenced to prison because he refused to evacuate people out of their homes in the Gaza Strip. And it's so bad that people are saying that this might develop into a civil war, and Ariel Sharon said he's going to come down on people with an iron fist if they try to retaliate. Then over in Iran, five of the hostages that were taken back in Jimmy Carter's administration said that this new president-elect was one of the student captors. So, Frank, how close are we to more escalation from the United States and Israel over in the Middle East?
I'll tell you what, Victor. It's a fascinating study in geopolitics, as well as a study in the influence of these power elites, these globalists, who are really trying to facilitate something. And I think what we've got here is we have to analyze the relationship between the United States and Israel, Israel and China, China and the U.S., Israel and Iran, Iran and Russia, Russia and the United States. So I think what we've got here is a giant contest being played. Everybody's sort of whipping it out and swinging it around to see who has the biggest one. And I think what's going to happen, ideally, is that China is certainly, from what I can gather from the news, playing its cards most strategically.
Mm-hmm.
What they've got here with the bid for UNICAL, once they get denied that, I do think that they're going to have a precedent being set for establishing, anti-trade policies, confiscation of resources and whatnot in the interest of national security, the same way the United States has set that precedent going into Iraq. And as a result of that, of course, we know that China owns a significant portion of the U.S. debt. It can really get nasty really quick. Now, when you factor in the Israeli arms deals to China, China's relationship with Russia, Russia as an oil-producing nation, or in that region, rather, and China with a voracious appetite for energy, you can see that it's going to get pretty nasty. Now, Israel seems to be playing the China versus U.S. card.
Yeah, they are.
And I think what's going to happen there is if Israel gets the, you know,
Iranian president-elect, Ahmadinejad, I hope I said his name right, he's being linked to that storming of the American embassy in Tehran in 1979. He's described as being the founder of the activists that actually stormed that embassy and accused of cruelly interrogating some of the hostages by some of the former hostages. So how do you think this is going to affect his relationship with America? And you think this has some negative potential blowback with Bush?
I think this is all completely manufactured.
Yeah.
We're looking at some of the same stories today, and what I discovered is there were, I think, five former hostages who came out and claimed that this guy had an active participation, an active role in their being held.
Mm-hmm.
So what that seems to me is, according to the story, you got five guys who happened to be watching the news, who all came to the same conclusion,
mm-hmm.
who all began emailing each other and determining that this was the guy, and they hoped that he did win. So if these five people knew that, presumably the powers that be in our government knew that as well, and maybe that's why Bush came out and said, this is not going to be a free election. Well, Ahmed Anub, I don't even know.
Just call him
new guy.
Mahmoud.
I tripped over that about 14 times today already.
Yeah.
Basically, I think what you're going to see is that this guy, the powers that be here knew that this was the guy. Obviously, he's already been linked. So I think that when Bush came out and made that statement, the new Iranian president, he basically had said, look, I'm not going to deal with the U.S. I'm going to take a hard position. So when Bush came out and said this is not a free election, massive amounts of people turned out to intentionally put this guy in power. So
right.
I think it was all manufactured. So now you've got these former hostages coming out and saying, take a look at how this guy operates. This is what we have to deal with for the next 4 to 5 years.
The perfect
excuse. The other interesting thing is the hostages who weren't sure included a guy who we read today out of the Associated Press, claimed that he didn't think that was the guy because he was blindfolded every time he was interrogated, but went on to say, but he does look familiar, indicating either he's saying all Iranians look alike, or somehow he was able to see while blindfolded.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when I was hearing this. It was like, now we have this perfect manufactured excuse. So you were mentioning China a little bit ago, and this is one of my main areas of focus. And they have this takeover bid of Unocal. They also signed a $70 billion long-term gas and oil deal with Tehran, and they're also signing deals with three of Canada's top oil producers. So, Frank, how much of a threat is China to the United States right now?
I think they are the biggest threat that we have faced in a very long time, because I do think that China, as probably as their culture would dictate and as their historical involvement with different world events goes, seems to be almost anathema to this New World Order concept.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't want any part of it. They want to do their own thing. They have a national pride motivating them. I don't know how involved they are, but just, from what I can see and what little I know about China, it would seem to me that this is sort of the wild card in this New World Order agenda. So here's a very, very powerful country that has risen to prominence through the attempts by the rest of the world to exploit China through, their low wages,
right,
and things of that nature. And what we've done is basically empower them to be a true threat to this New World Order. So I do think that they've got a lot of people scared.
Yeah. Are we finished? CAFTA has been in the news a lot lately, and a couple days ago it passed in the Senate, a close voice vote. We're very opposed to CAFTA going through, and apparently the American Sugar Alliance is also, that's the industry group, they oppose the imports of sugar from other countries, and they've rejected the Bush administration's final offer. Get this, Frank, the United States wants to pay foreign countries to not import sugar for 2 years. So we're going to pay them not to, just so CAFTA can pass, and the sugar industry is totally against this. What's your take?
Yeah, and plus, the French and the Dutch voted down this EU constitution, so why can't we do what they're doing to get rid of this
EU? We have to pay people off not to import.
Yeah,
I think this really speaks to the higher issue here, which is the absolute apathy of the majority of Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very few people really know what's going on,
mm-hmm.
on any level.
Yeah.
Even fewer have a deeper understanding of the whole thing. Now, obviously, you guys get it, and very few others do. You definitely have a better handle on it than I do. I just try to look at it and say, the ultimate goal, given my background and my faith, I'd say, is a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world currency. So take where we are and look at that as the destination point. We have to figure out different pathways to get to the ultimate goal of these globalists. And I think if we start highlighting things, you know, it certainly becomes clearer what their agenda is and how they're going to pull it off. Now, unfortunately, most of the people don't even care.
Or even know.
A lot of people, I would think, if you were to ask them, would say, I have no problem with the New World Order as long as we're in charge.
Yeah.
Kind of like Bush's comment about being a dictator. Now, with Hillary Clinton getting, I think, 5-1 odds as of right now, being the White House in 2008, Bill Clinton possibly going to be at the Secretary General seat in 2006.
Yep.
Well, it looks like America will rule the world, and the most free, I put that in quotation marks, people in the world will be dominated, will be won over by the concept of being in charge.
Yeah.
We'd love to be a part of an empire as long as we were running the show.
Exactly. Right. Now, I'm glad you mentioned the election coming up, because a couple of days ago we spoke on Wing TV about John McCain.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scenario coming up now where John McCain might play the spoiler to divide the GOP vote. Now, of course, we all know that this is a selection and not an election.
Right.
But what if they put him in there to kind of play the Ross Perot role so they can manipulate the computers and get Hillary in there? What do you think about this scenario?
You know, I think that is a brilliant, brilliant theory, and that makes increasingly more sense as time goes on. My initial thought was that they were going to try to put Arnold in on the Republican ticket, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Uh-huh.
And obviously what would happen there is you'd have even the Republicans, I think, would be somewhat wary.
Oh, yeah.
If they're good Americans, to vote for a foreigner, a foreign-born citizen, to be president of the United States. I think people would even overcome their fear of a female president just simply because the idea of a foreign-born citizen would be so anathema to them. But obviously, you know, and a lot of people have made these huge efforts, these huge campaigns to make sure that Arnold doesn't run, when, in fact, what they're doing in actuality is strengthening Hillary's position.
Yeah.
But the McCain situation, I think, is a brilliant and very plausible alternative to the opposition that Schwarzenegger would receive.
Mm-hmm.
So the U.S. Army has exceeded its monthly recruiting goal after four straight months of falling short, yet there are 7,800 recruits short for their year-to-date target. So we've got sunny assertions continuing to come out from the Bush administration saying that we're in the last throes of the war, we're heading toward victory and whatnot, yet we have less and less potential recruits enlisting in this war. Do you think there's a new wariness for people to actually sign up to just get stuck in Iraq and wherever forever and ever and ever?
I think there's definitely a fear out there. Now, obviously, there are those who are the elites who don't worry and don't really know much of anything as far as these little minor details that us peons would consider and worry about. Then there are those who would like to be the elites, which are the diehard, yay, Republican Party fans. These people are just as screwed as the rest of us if this does happen. But what I do foresee happening is the draft. Now, the reason I foresee the draft happening is sort of like complete total economic collapse because of the oil situation and wars, as the Pentagon Climate Report said in, I think, February of 2003, that wars in the future will be fought purely for survival, not for economic and financial gain, but rather just for the acquisition of natural resources needed to survive. So I do think what's going to happen is we'll probably have a big oil debacle. Now, a lot of people are saying, oh, we have plenty of oil up in Alaska. That is true. However, the refining capacity is obviously an issue.
Yeah.
I think what we're going to see here is a lot of these military bases they're talking about turning into refineries. That's very plausible. These military bases, obviously, very secure. And I'll tell you what, you guys would probably know just as well as anybody else, and I spent a lot of my youth in military bases. My father was in the Army. And as a result of that, I've seen them. And let me tell you, these places have these military-style housing,
right,
all fenced in, razor wire. They would make excellent work camps, don't you agree?
I've actually lived in military housing for a while.
Okay, and, yeah, you know how it is then.
Yeah, I do.
These places would make outstanding little work camps for everybody.
Yeah,
obviously, it's very accessible via the water on some of the bases. Trains here in Arkansas go right to Fort Chaffee. So what you've got here is you turn these old military bases into refineries slash work camps, economic collapse, people saying, what can we do, what can we do? And the government says, here are your options. You can go and live in one of these camps. We'll give you a nice house. We'll take care of everything. You work and you get rations.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Just so everybody
knows. For
those
of you who don't, you're on your own. The other option is the military. Right. Here, we'll go ahead and we'll take care of you. We'll take care of your family. And in that type of society, people are going to want to fight. People are not going to be interested in protesting a war that would actually give them something that they see as necessary for the survival of this country. It would be the first time that our actual survival would appear to be in jeopardy.
Mm-hmm. Just so you know, the Army's active duty goal for 2005 is 80,000 recruits.
Yeah, and considering what they give everyone now to go in, I mean, if you're lower economic status, it looks like a good deal. So, well, let's switch a bit here, Frank. There's everybody watching this show, and I'm sure listening to yours, knows Tom Tancredo. He's a congressman from Colorado. And I read recently that in the last 8 months, there was a 240% increase in illegal immigration into this country. There's also a 2004 Border Patrol survey that's being covered up by the Bush administration. Do you think we're close to reaching critical mass on illegal immigration, or are we already there?
I think that's a wonderful question, and I'm going to answer it by not choosing one of those options.
Okay.
I think what we've got here is trying to accomplish two things. Number one, it's my theory that the free trade area of the Americas and things like that are designed to solidify the relationships between Canada, the United States, and Mexico, all three. So to have this open border society. Now, the reason for that, of course, would be in the event of some sort of catastrophic economic collapse around the world, you obviously want to be pretty good with your neighbors, especially when your neighbors to the south can disrupt your oil that you would be taking out of the Gulf of Mexico, and your neighbors to the north can disrupt your pipeline from Alaska. So I think that's the reason that happens. The second thing is this this draft legislation that we saw last year, I think it was H.R. 163, did not state men and women ages 18 to 24 who are citizens of the United States. It said men and women ages 18 to 24 in the United States.
That's a very
huge
good
discrepancy. So I think what they've got here is basically a counter to China's, you know, billion-man army here.
Yeah.
Let's just bring in the cannon fodder and promise these people citizenship or whatnot.
Right there is why you should listen to
Frank. There's going to be a lot of issues that come up with, you know, the people who are living on some of these border states.
Yeah.
But at the same time, in the interest of looking at a World War III type scenario, people are going to forget really quick any sort of national boundaries and national interests.
Yeah, but the real concern is the potential unionization of America by dissolving our borders and creating this big hemisphere and losing our sovereignty.
Absolutely, and I agree. And I am so opposed to that. I couldn't even describe it in words. But I think that, again, just like the powers that be, I think the sickest thing of all is most of those people who are involved, and we all know it takes quite a bit of planning and quite a bit of interconnectedness to pull one of these events off, things like September 11th and whatnot. But I firmly believe that those at the very, very top are pure evil. But a lot of the other people are actually doing it because they think they're doing something for the good of the nation. And they would say, well, you know what, 3,000 people sacrificed in New York and Washington is a small price to pay for the strengthening of America for what we know is going to happen in the future.
So
they look at it as sort of the good of the many outweighing the needs of the few.
Yeah.
So I do think that they would say, well, yes, we might lose our sovereignty, but in the coalition or the giant nation that would comprise, you know, the Americas, Canada, Mexico, and the United States, they would say, hey, we'd still be in charge.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the biggest concern to most clueless people out there here in this country, is that they don't want to lose their role in the world. It's not so much that they care about being an American or being patriotic. They just want to be top of the food chain,
and
they think that they would still be so.
Well, Frank, you're out there in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Tell everybody that's walking through the doors of Walmart, real briefly, tell people what Walmart's all about.
Walmart is an active participant in this whole scheme. I had reports coming in from some of my local listeners about you know, the Department of Homeland Security being involved with Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunker that Walmart had just shifted all of their things a few years ago out of Bentonville, Arkansas, right across the border of Missouri. And they built this this huge computer bunker. Now, they switched all their computers and everything like that over to this place. They changed types of radios they use to tube-style radios, which, as you know, are impervious to EMPs,
right.
Which are, of course, side effect of the nuclear blast. So they built the surrounding walls around this bunker before they actually built the building itself. And that building has a permanent federal office. They have a presence there all the time. And from what I was told, you know, a lot of these Walmart functions can be operated right out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Walmart's basically, if you look at the size of these super centers in particular, well, you've got an enormous store and two very small entrances and exits. It's a perfect food distribution center.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that's what they're doing with a lot of these things, is saying, all right, let's go in. And they were doing this about a year ago. They were going in and sort of inventorying all of the foodstuffs that they had in these various locations. So, you know, they definitely have a role.
That's right.
Yeah, I read that, too, about them having a Homeland Security office in their big store in MENA.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. I know that John Stadtmiller, head of RBN, your network there, is in the hospital. How's he doing?
From what I've heard, there's a possibility that he'll come out today.
Great.
Oh, awesome.
Out of the hospital. Yeah, it's certainly a good thing. From what I heard, he broke his shoulder blade, his collarbone, several ribs. You know, he's still got some fight in him, so hopefully he'll take it easy and allow himself to mend so he can get back into this fight with us.
Well, we wish him the very best. Please extend our well wishes for us.
Yeah. Of course, absolutely.
One last thing before we go. I wish we had about 3 hours to talk with you, Frank. But today I heard that an Iron City Brewing Company, they make Iron City beer, is going to bail out on their pension plan like GM is threatening to do, like United already has done. And they're going to just lay it all in the government's lap with this Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. We have that situation, and every day it seems like now we hear more and more talk about the housing bubble, when it's going to pop. Economically, what do you think of these two situations?
I think these things are so vital and so underanalyzed as far as what's going on out there. I think that what we see is this huge push for people to get in over their heads financially.
Yep.
You're talking about land, you're talking about cars, all sorts of big, big, big purchases. And what that's going to do, I think, is open up a new race of people, people who are in debtor's prison in this future sort of economic collapse society. I firmly believe that's what's going to happen, because I think we can all agree that we do not live in such a benevolent world that if we all were to have a collapsed society, that banks and corporations wouldn't be catered to first. Of course they would. We would still have to pay our debt, and you would say, I can't do that. And they'd say, well, you know, you got a great house. You're going to lose it unless you come work here, and then we'll let your family live there. But odds are they'll probably acquire these. You look at the census. You know, these things are being put out. Huge houses are being constructed. People can't afford them. But a census will include, you know, how many rooms are in your house.
Right.
And I think that they'll start shifting the populations around in various states to these urban centers, and then sort of allowing this UN rewilding project to go crazy to, you know, open that up. And what that's going to do is, of course, like we're seeing with Israel, the people who are true to the American ideal, the real patriots out there, who are fighting for their country, for their land, and their very survival, will be deemed the extremists, the crazy anti-government people.
Right.
And who knows, some of these prisoners in these work camps might be conscripted to go and fight their own countrymen. I think it's going to be a big old mess.
It's already a big old mess.
Yeah.
It's going fast. I tell you what, if it goes through the summer, I'll be shocked.
Yeah.
Well, everybody who's watching this show today, if you want to hear more talk like this, tune in to franklyspeakingradio.com. All the information's there. And, Frank, we know you're very busy. You do 4 hours every morning. And just thank you so much for taking some time to come on
this show. Is such a great way to wake up in the morning and get your news without turning on your TV.
That's right.
Well, you guys are fantastic. And let me say this, that the one thing that we all have, in my opinion, you know, that we truly own, aside from our souls, is our integrity.
Right.
And if ever there's one second that I felt the idea that compromise maybe wouldn't be too bad, I would absolutely turn to you guys and see a shining example of this is how people are supposed to be. You guys are great patriots.
Thank
you. Great,
you too.
And you're great truth seekers and inspiration to me and all of my listeners.
Well, thank you so much for that. And
you
Frank,
inspire us, Frank.
Yeah, franklyspeakingradio.com. Frank, have a good day, okay?
Yeah.
God bless you guys.
Take
you
care.
Too.
Bye-bye. Now, tonight, folks, by the time this is on, we're going to appear on the Peter Shank radio show. This is on RBN Live.
It's the Peter Principle.
Yep, the Peter Principle, RBNLive.com. Tomorrow, our guest is going to be Mr. Eustace Mullins.
Yeah, we're
He's one of the legends of this anti-New World Order movement. We're going to talk about the Federal Reserve. So
we don't hear his voice often enough.
That's right.
We can really learn a lot from Eustace.
Exactly.
So check out Frank's show, franklyspeakingradio.com.
He really was great, wasn't he?
He's awesome. He's awesome in the morning, too. That 4 hours flies.
It does. So we'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV. Keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
See you tomorrow.